that first step is always the hardest, to get someone to dare to set aside his blind faith long enough to think about things, to back up enough to say, maybe government isn't even legitimate at all. It takes a lot for people indoctrinated into the faith to dare to think of those literally blasphemous ideas that, no, those people in Washington don't have the right to rule. Their threats aren't laws, they're just threats. Their demands aren't taxes, it's just extortion. And that really feels like heresy, because it is. It is heresy against the God called government.
So if you hadn't noticed yet, the elite, our owners, are building a feudal technocracy, a digital AI god, where these flawed humans like Larry Ellison, who has already said that AI is satanic, are building this system of ultimate control that both sides, Republicans and Democrats, squabble over, but yet head in the same direction. We're headed into a neo-feudal future of haves and have-nots. And of course, necessarily, the haves are a lot smaller group than the have-nots. And they don't want a whole lot of have-nots, because if you got too many have-nots against not enough haves, there's trouble. And that's one thing they don't want, is a lot of trouble. That's why they like to start wars all over the place, to kill the brave men who go off to war for patriotic reasons, because the government tells them to, because they've suffered through 15,000 hours of indoctrination, forced indoctrination through forced education in what we call a free society, which is no longer free, if it ever was free. If it wasn't just a way to suckle you into believing that you're free while they slip the chains of tyranny upon you. Now, it's taken 250 years, and Bert's big burst of tyranny, and then gained back a little bit of liberty, and then another burst of tyranny. Of course, 1913 is one that most people point out, and rightly so. That's when the federal income tax was passed to back up the Federal Reserve Act, to make sure that every slave on the plantation, and they call them citizens, not slaves, they call them citizens of the United States of America, they are pledged, their hard-earned labor is pledged as collateral against the state's debt. And the state can spend whatever they want, and borrow whatever they want, and then they can print whatever they want, devalue the currency, and make the slaves pay by a hidden tax called inflation. When the prices of everything go up and your wages are stagnated. And so the middle class keeps declining and declining, going into the poor and then the po and then the pff. While the haves get more and more and buy bigger and bigger jets and more mansions and more yachts, and laugh all the way to the bank. That's what we have. And in the meantime, the slaves get to vote for your local politicians, you know, and your local politicians then take some stolen loot and give you a boat ramp or a nice little park, or they go into the conservation mode where they buy up private property, and then close it off to human activity or very little human activity. And then NGOs come in, and the Nature's Conservancy and all these other conservancy groups go in and they buy up all this property to make sure that the deer and the antelope can make love in peace and quiet, and the possums don't get run over as much, and the people stay out of it. They need less and less people and more nature. Remember when they, before they blew up the Georgia Guidestones, one of the things they repeated down at the bottom, leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. So these are the guidelines that are laid out here. They're written in 8 different languages all around the structure. There are a lot of different opposing thoughts as to what some of this means.
Now, the Club of Rome says that mankind is the enemy because mankind is destroying nature. And so these billionaires need to fly around in airplanes all over the place telling us that we need to cut back on everything. Need to cut back and get smaller refrigerators, need smart refrigerators, need smart toilets so you don't flush as much. They don't work half the time. You need a smart washer, a smart dryer that run all damn day and don't clean nothing. You need smart light bulbs that don't work half the time, and then they cost too damn much. Then if you break one, you got to call the EPA to clean the damn mess up. They want to control everything, even your digital medical records. You'll have it all put on your little smartphone, your little black screen, your little smartphone right here. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get stopped, they'll just say, can you produce your papers, please? And you'll be required to turn over your little smartphone. And it'll have your social credits on there. It'll have all your information on there. It'll have all your medical prescriptions on there. It'll have all your state records on there. And they'll be able to tell if you're a terrorist or not. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they did flood the country with illegal immigrants who, guess what they pushed out of? They pushed them out of the countries that we were in there fiddling around with, to make sure that the masses got pushed up into these areas, whether it be in Western Europe or in the United States or in Canada or in Australia or any of these countries. They get these immigrants to flood in, and then, so that creates the problem, and all you people are hollering about all these immigrants is taking our jobs and all. I have one lady, she said, what's with all this traffic? It's all these Mexicans. And then, you know, you look around, it ain't Mexicans, it's housewives on the damn telephones. But the problem, they created the problem. Now you see the solution coming into focus. We got Trump sending hiring all these ICE people to go around and all. They don't do no warrants. They mask up. They knock down doors. And it doesn't matter that if you're American or not, if they don't like the way you look, you're going to get locked up. Now, you might be able to get out, and who are you going to sue? And then you got to find a lawyer to sue them. And then the government has got unlimited pocketbook, so you'll be fighting forever and ever, and you're lucky if you ever get a settlement. And then they don't pay for it. The taxpayers pay for it. So you're in catch 22. So what are you going to do? So you got Trump now creating his own secret, and ain't even his secret, his own SS. Now, you know, of course, the people on the right are cheering because, oh, he's going to do something about these damn immigrants. And the people on the left saying, oh, no, it's tyrannical and everything. You know, when Joe Biden was doing things, the right would call it tyrannical. And when they go back and forth. So when Trump gets out and a Democrat gets back in, the left people are going to take the power that Trump just did, the ICE power, and they're going to use it against their political opponents. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to tiptoe ourselves to a technocracy. Now, in the meantime, of course, Trump is playing the game with the tariffs and all, so that the price of everything goes up, so that, the middle class is left lower and lower standard of living. That's what all this is about, to get everybody down to the same level, lowest level possible, where all the billionaires can run rampant across the world on whatever they want, fly over all the have-nots, and live forever. And they believe that they can be gods. They don't believe in a god. Then you got Israel. Israel and the Zionist project, the Greater Israel project. And you find out that the Christians are being fooled into this thing. These so-called Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ. They think he was just a rebel fighting against the Roman Empire, and they killed him anyway. He didn't perform any miracles or anything. They think less of Jesus Christ than the Muslims. The Muslims, at least, the Muslims think that he was a prophet.
Jewish point of view, where we don't believe in the divinity of Christ. I think that there you can make an argument that the Gospels, which were written...
He was just a prophet.
No. We don't even believe he was a prophet.
What do you think he was? What do you guys think
I mean, what do I think he was historically? I think he was a Jew who tried to lead a revolt against the Romans and got killed for his trouble, just like a lot of other Jews at that time who were crucified for trying to lead revolts against the Roman and got killed for their trouble.
So he became legend and story, and it became a bigger and bigger deal as time went on.
Yeah, he had a group of followers, and then that gradually grew, and then...
Do you think he was resurrected?
No, that's not a Jewish belief.
Okay, I just want to check.
Yeah, no, we're not into miracle stories. No, that's
no?
Not, no.
You don't have any miracles?
No, not by Jesus. Right? No? They're ones in the Old Testament. Yeah, you've got Moses splitting the sea and all that.
What do you think happened there?
What do I think happened there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go with the Maimonidean explanation that it says in the Bible there was a strong east wind. So there is a naturalistic explanation for a physical phenomenon.
The Jews, they don't think even that. They think he was a traitor. But evangelicals like Mike Huckabee and all, blowing smoke up everybody's butt, saying that we ought to do anything and everything that the Israeli government requires of us. In other words, we need to send them more bombs. We need to help them in their genocide. We ought to be on the side of genocide for the Israeli government. Is that what you support? That is still going toward the technocracy. All of it consolidating power around the AI, around the medical system, around the monetary system, around the enforcement, and then you have Donald Trump blowing boats out of the water around Venezuela, claiming that they're narco terrorists. And he even had a fellow on Facebook say that he was glad that he's blowing up these narco terrorists. Man, I support Trump. I don't support these drugs coming in to the United States and all that. I hope he blows them all up. Well, see, this fool doesn't even understand the due process of law. Doesn't care about due process of law. He is bought into this thing about the government creates an enemy, a narrative that this guy Maduro down there in Venezuela is a narco-terrorist, and they got some grand jury up in New York City to indict him as a narco terrorist. You know, they say you can indict a hamburger. It's so easy to get an indictment. So there's no proof at all. But yet, this guy thinks that the government, whatever the government says, is true. Except when he says it's not true. I don't understand what he's talking about. Because people that trust government, they'll even tell you that politicians lie and all. And then they'll say that they trust the government when the government says, or they'll say that they don't trust the government. And they'll pick and choose what they're going to trust and what they're not going to trust of government. People make any kind of excuse they can for their government. They want a good government, but they know their government isn't good, but they can't criticize their government because they're afraid to, because then it exposes every time that they trusted government and your government broke that trust, which is every time. Government never does what it says it's going to do, or what it says it's going to do turns out way worse than what they told us. You know, they were going to save us from all the terrorists and everything. It took taking 20 years, terrorists are still out there, and we're $20 trillion further in the hole. And it's still going. Is that what you want? Is that what you support? I think most people don't have any idea where we're headed. Most people don't have any idea what's actually going on. Then we got old Donald Trump. He's talking about reverse price controls, y'all. Now, back in the Depression and during the Nixon administration and all that, they put price controls on things because they thought prices were too high. So they put bottom rock prices on things and said you couldn't sell these things for more than this amount of money. They did it, FDR did it, Nixon did it. Generally speaking, that's what the government does, put price controls on it. But these are reverse price controls, meaning that they're gonna, it's not that the prices are too high, it's that the prices aren't high enough. And specifically, he's talking about rare earth minerals. China is producing more, 95% of the world's rare earth minerals. Even though there's rare earth minerals all around the world, even the USA has a bunch of rare earth minerals. But because of regulations, miners here, it costs too much to mine. Labor costs are too much, keeping up the regulations. The EPA regulations and all that make it more expensive to mine and all than it is in China. And so Trump says, well, what we're going to do, if we're going to say that in rare earth and whatever else we want to do, because we have the power to do it, we're going to set a minimum price for each one of these items. Now, I don't know how to price rare earth minerals anyway, but in a free market it'd be supply and demand, but we don't live in a free market. So let's use oil as an example. Right now oil's trading somewhere around $60 a barrel, and let's say that American oil producers can't produce oil at $60 a barrel and make a profit, so they're losing money at $60 a barrel. $65-$70 a barrel, they can break even, make a little bit of money. So Trump comes in, or the government, or Joe Biden, or Barack Obama, whoever's president, and says, well, we're going to do reverse price control. We're going to say that the minimum that you can sell a barrel of oil is $100. Anybody that's caught selling underneath $100 is going to jail. And so, you think that's going to work? says you're going to drive the price of rare earth minerals up because the Chinese produce more. And I guess it's in hope that because of all the regulations and all and how expensive it is to mine rare earth minerals here in the United States, that by setting that ceiling at whatever it is, that it'll be, the miners here will be more competitive with the Chinese market. But in the end, everybody will pay more for anything that has rare earth minerals in it. That's how that backwards flip-flop goes. Either way, me and you pay for it. Tariffs are a tax on the consumer. Just like inflation is a tax on anybody that uses the dollar to transact. So all this is another intervention into the free market by statists from R party or D party. Doesn't matter. They're all both against me and you. They're both against the individual liberty of people. Now they're out there busy trying to live their lives. And even the people that are involved, like the people that are working inside the GOP party, the people, you know, volunteering and running for little districts and inside the GOP and or inside the Democratic Party and everything, they think that if you can elect the right people and if you get the right number of people involved in government, that you can actually bring back freedom. You can actually turn back the tide, and government will relinquish the power as you get more and more of the right people elected. But if you look in history, you can tell it is not like that. Never has been, never will be. Government will always grow and will never, never give back power. You can't vote yourself freedom. There's no way. It's an impossibility. What are you going to do? You know, the majority of people don't vote anyway, for whatever reason. But most of them have already come to the conclusion it doesn't matter anyway. The problem is the people that vote. Because if you vote, you are responsible for what happened. You, if you voted for Trump or Biden in the last election, you support genocide. If you voted for Joe Biden or Trump in 16, you support genocide. You support the Ukraine war. You support higher taxes. You support more military spending. You support more dead Americans. Because you voted. Because you give the government the illusion of support. So good, bad, or indifferent, whatever decisions they make, you agree to abide by those decisions because you voted. Lose, win, or draw. Pretty simple. You're a statist. Statists are going to state. They're going to support government. They're going to make excuses for government. And inevitably, they're going to murder for government. Eventually, they're going to be murdered by government. So, if time goes on and we get further and further into this technocracy, I hope people will wake up. I hope they'll start paying a little bit more attention. I hope that you'll pray about this and you'll ask God to guide you, wake you up, to open your eyes to see what's actually going on, and ask him to show you if the state is blessed by God, or is the state antichrist, anti-human. There's something else to think about. Beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. Until next time, boys and girls. Peace.
Quite simply, a statist is somebody who believes in having a state. Basically, anybody who wants government. Government is the exercise of authority over a people or place. And that is basically the right to rule. It's not just the ability to control other people, because most people have that in one way or another. It's the right. It's the idea that certain people, it's legitimate for them to forcibly control others. Belief in government is a purely faith-based, indoctrinated belief. It doesn't actually make any sense in practical terms or in evidence or in logic. For years, I thought it was a really good analogy to compare government to religion. And only a few years ago did I realize it's not an analogy. It is a religion in every way. It has a superhuman deity, government, that has rights that mortals don't. It isn't restricted by the rules that apply to mortals. It issues commands, and if you disobey, you're a sinner and you deserve to be punished. The faithful, the true believers, they have great faith in these bizarre rituals, elections and legislation and appointments, and they dress up and then they say, ta-da, now I represent government. I know I just look like a person, but I don't just have the rights of a person because I represent the magical deity called government. And so I'm allowed to demand your money and boss you around and hurt you if you disobey me. I'm acting on behalf of government, and it has commandments called laws. And these laws aren't just the threats of humans. They are decrees from something superhuman. And so all you good people out there should bow to this deity. And if you want the world fixed, this is what you pray to. And we give you certain rituals of how to pray to it and when you're supposed to pray to it and pray to the God to make the world what you wish it was and to save you from all the uncertainties of reality. The doctrine people are taught is just patently absurd. And a bunch of examples of that are like consent of the governed. There isn't such thing. If it's consent, it's voluntary. If it's being governed, it's not. The actual given excuse is, we have the right to rule you because you decided we did, even if you didn't vote for us, and even if you oppose everything we do to you. And, well, they represent us. Okay, they represent us by doing a lot of things that we don't have the right to do. And they represent us by bossing us around and taking our money. Like, I bet if I went to my neighbor and bossed him around and took his money and said, I'm representing you, he would say, what? What a stupid thing to say. To me, the most insane is, we are the government, which you hear everywhere. And I ask somebody, wait, do you really not notice that there's a group of people over there? They issue threats, and they call them laws, and they issue demands for money, and they call it taxes. And if you disobey, they send men with guns to hurt you. Now, are you really incapable of distinguishing between yourself and them? One of the biggest giveaways that the belief in government is a complete blind faith religious belief is the way people respond. One very easy line of questioning is, can you give somebody else a right that you don't have? And everybody says, well, no, of course not. Well, how about you and your buddy? Can the two of you give someone else a right that neither of you had? Well, no. And it only takes a couple more questions to get to, well, how did Congress get rights that you don't have? They get emotional and they get angry or they get defensive or they run away. They didn't come to this belief through reasoning and evidence and logic. They came there by having a blind faith belief smashed into their heads, starting before they could even talk. It's just something they were taught to believe, that there's this thing called authority, and that it's allowed to do things that human beings aren't, and that people have an obligation to obey it, to the point where, yeah, it's some people, they weren't gods or anything, some people wrote down a thing on paper, and then they called it legislation, and they did certain rituals, and then people go around saying, well, this is law. Most people literally feel physical discomfort and fear at the thought of disobeying anyone in authority. Most people can't say, no, I'm not going to do that, because it goes against their years and years of programming and indoctrination that trains them to think, if you do as you're told, you're good. If you don't, you're bad. And that's the message of school. And that message gets pounded in people's heads. Students are taught over and over and over and over again every stinking day they're in school that the measure of your virtue is how well you obey authority. The whole approval, disapproval thing. The one thing you learn in school is if you do as you're told, you get approval and reward. And if you don't do as you're told, you get disdain and condemnation. They'll make sure everybody knows you're a bad person because you didn't do as you were told. The belief in authority leads everybody, good people, bad people, everything in between, to advocate and do things they wouldn't otherwise do, bad things they wouldn't otherwise do, including cops, because the cops really and truly believe that they have the right to do things that I don't have the right to do and you don't have the right to do. The only reason most of them do what they do is because they believe in authority, and they really believe that legislation gives them an exemption from morality. So that when they do something and someone says, hey, what you're doing is bad, hey, I don't make the law, I just enforce it. I'm not responsible for my actions, I'm just a tool of some weird thing somewhere else called government. You can't blame me for what I am personally doing because I'm not really doing it. As loony as that is, that's what most of them will say. Whenever somebody says, hey, what you're doing is wrong, it's not okay to, you know, it's not okay to lock people up for smoking marijuana, it's not okay, you know, all the ways in which quote unquote law enforcement initiates violence against nonviolent people. And if you bring that up to them, they literally talk as if they didn't do it. The only reason they do that is because they were taught the lie of authority and government and law along with everyone else, and then they were told, you're just a tool of the thing called law, and that makes it so you have rights that other people don't have. So you don't have to feel bad about physically assaulting nonviolent people because the law says it's okay. It really is just permission to ignore your conscience by saying you have rights that other people don't. You know, you don't have the right to tell other people what habit to have on your own. You don't have the right to go and extort people on your own. But once you're law enforcement, then not only is it okay, it's noble and great to go around robbing people and bossing them around. That is the biggest danger of the belief in authority. It tricks good people into condoning or doing really nasty, horrible, violent things because they think, well, this is okay if government and authority does it.
They are raised by their parents, by the school, by the government, by the culture, by all the authoritarian messages built into everything, to think that obedience is a virtue. And when you raise the culture to think that, and you get one nasty psycho at the top who says, hey, go do bad stuff, people say, well, I have to follow orders. I have to obey the law. I have to do as I'm told because that's a virtue. And then good people march off and do evil stuff. I'm not scared of the Maos and the Stalins and the Hitlers. I'm scared of the thousands or millions of people that hallucinate them to be authority and so do their bidding and pay for their empires and carry out their orders. I don't care if there's one loony with a stupid mustache, he's not a threat if the people do not believe in authority. Some people assume that, well, you must trust everybody if you don't want government. That's not at all true. I don't nearly trust everybody, but if I don't trust people to run their own lives, why on earth would I trust them to be in a position of power where they can forcibly run other people's lives?
Really what it boils down to is saying, I don't trust people. People are untrustworthy and unpredictable. So my solution is to take some of those people, some of the most untrustworthy around, give them permission to violently control us all. And that will protect us from the untrustworthiness of mankind. Okay, you're so scared of the average man out there and so thankful for government. Let me ask you, who was taking more of your money under threat of force? Private people threatening you or agents of authority threatening you? How many murders are committed by private people compared to how many are committed by people acting on behalf of authority? It's not even close. The number of murders committed in the name of law enforcement and government and authority completely dwarfs private murder. Even governments killing the people of other countries is small compared to them killing their own people. In the last 100 years, over 270 million human beings killed by their own governments, not counting war. That first step is always the hardest. To get someone to dare to set aside his blind faith long enough to think about things, to back up enough to say, maybe government isn't even legitimate at all. It takes a lot for people indoctrinated into the faith to dare to think of those literally blasphemous ideas that, no, those people in Washington don't have the right to rule. Their threats aren't laws, they're just threats. Their demands aren't taxes, it's just extortion. And that really feels like heresy, because it is. It is heresy against the God called government. I now have a huge amount of hope, because I see an acceleration of the number of people who dare to think about these things, and now the number of people able to have this conversation is just hugely exploding, and they're still a minority. But that exponential curve, I don't think it's stopping. I really think the cult of statism is as good as dead. Ultimately, I think the belief in government is doomed for the exact same reasons that the belief in a flat earth was doomed. There's too many people pointing out the utter inherent insanity in the belief, and that's just not going to go away. Nobody who understands self-ownership and understands why authority is inherently bogus wakes up the next day and say, suddenly, you know, I think I should do whatever the politicians say. I think really humanity is just beginning to wake up to what it's supposed to be. Humanity wasn't meant to be a domesticated species owned by a ruling class. Every human being owns himself, is in charge of his own life. I'd like to see actual rational moral civilization in my lifetime, but we are going to get there. Sooner or later, we are totally going to get there. The lie will never outlive the truth forever.